One of the greatest challenges, I think, that is facing the church, not just in this day and age, but maybe just about every day and age, is man's apathetic attitude toward the church, toward following the teachings that God has laid out for us and being what God would have us to be as a church. We really do face a very pervasive attitude of unity in diversity. We've heard that expression before, I'm sure. And certainly it is the case. There are certain things in life that you can probably get away with that kind of thing. You can have a lot of diversity and yet you can be a united people. Problem is that the Bible is not one of those. Unfortunately, what people oftentimes mean in the religious sense of, well, unity and diversity is I'm okay, you're okay, and we just agree to disagree and everything's going to be fine. In other words, all that we need to agree on is the very basics, and that is that Jesus is the Son of God, and the rest of it really doesn't count, really doesn't matter. It does not seem to matter in many cases to people that critical doctrinal issues are antagonistic to one another. We can just agree to disagree. Too many in the religious world do not see the need for biblical doctrine that is binding on all men everywhere. And so to that end, we want to kind of tailor this lesson to that concept. Number one, we need to be preaching and teaching. We need to uphold the truth of God that there is but one blood-bought institution from God, one and only one. You know, following Peter's affirmation of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, we see that in Matthew 16, we see that Jesus responded by saying, upon this rock I will build my church. And the essential part here that we're looking at is that it is Jesus' church, that He is the builder of it. And as a result of that, there is but one and only one blood-bought institution that comes to us from God. Jesus and His shed blood is the foundation of the church because it was built squarely on Christ. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 11, that Paul would write to the church at Corinth of Christ being the one foundation. One foundation of Christ, of the church rather. In Matthew 27, 24 through 25, Pilate figuratively would wash his hands of the fate of Jesus by saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. In other words, you see to his death. He understood that the blood was essential. And he wanted to make them understand that he was free from any of the shedding of blood of Christ. Of course, he really was not. But he sought to do that. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, to the elders of Ephesus, Paul would write these words, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, listen, which He purchased with His own blood. And again, we see a couple of important issues here. Number one, his charge to the eldership was to make sure that they were overseeing the flock, they were overseeing the church, that the Holy Spirit had made them overseers, that they were tending to this flock, taking care of things in a scriptural way. But the emphasis point that we want to make is that here Paul would tell them to shepherd the church of God over the which the Holy Spirit had made them overseers, and that He had purchased with His own blood. Folks, there is but one blood-bought institution, and it's the church. Peter wrote that the Christian was to redeem, that the Christian was redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. Jesus did not die for a multitude of churches. He didn't die for a multitude of churches that were all teaching things that were contrary one to the other. And certainly he did not die on the cross to establish multiple congregations that were teaching, or multiple churches rather, that were teaching things contrary to God's word. He shed his blood for his church. There is but one church, which is the body of Christ, and our salvation is dependent upon being in that church. Matthew chapter 16, 18, we just talked about. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church. Both Ephesians 1, 23 and Colossians 1 and verse 18 both affirm the fact that there is but one body, and that church is that one body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 5, by the time Paul would write this letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul understood that there was but one body and one faith, one church. That was all there was. Number two, we must preach and teach that denominationalism is not authorized in the Scripture. And let me emphasize, when we say that, what we are saying and what the Bible is teaching, in fact, not just what we're saying, but what the Bible teaches, that is that denominationalism is sinful because it is not authorized. Now, I understand when we say this, we have to find the right way to help people get through some of this, and we don't have to just blast them in the face with it, but the truth of the matter is we must preach and teach that there is but that one authorized church that Jesus shed his blood for, the one authorized blood-bought institution, and when we say that, it negates everything else because there is no authority for them. At some point in time, we will have to make that affirmation. Yes, denominationalism is sinful. Now, that's not going to make you popular with some folks. But the truth is, we need to be teaching that. We emphasize, again, some of the plain elementary teachings that really were back in our first point, that there is one and only one church, one and only one body of Christ. We see that again, Ephesians 1:23, Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 4, 4, and 5, and on that list could go. Folks, the Bible speaks of the church in a singular sense. Again, go back to what Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, one church. It belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to man. It doesn't belong to a group of people that have a right to come in and say, I believe we're going to teach what we want to on this subject, and we're going to teach what we want to on this subject. Now, this one over here, we're going to follow the Bible. It does not allow for that. The only time that I find anywhere in the New Testament that the Bible itself speaks in terms of multiple churches, in other words, not singular in the singular sense, is Romans 16, 16, where Paul says there that the churches of Christ salute or greet you. Here he's talking about the congregations of the Lord's church. He's not talking about multiple churches that go by that title. Folks, we must plainly teach that all man-made religions are without authority. They have no divine authority to exist. If we don't have a divine authority to exist, then it is sin. We must plainly teach that there can be no salvation, zero, apart from Jesus and His church. How do we know that? Because you cannot be baptized into Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. We cannot be buried with Him in baptism, Romans chapter 6, 3 through 4, and not be in His church. If we're baptized into Christ, if we have put on Christ, if we are buried with Him in baptism, then we are in Him and therefore in His church. Conversely, if you look at it from the opposite direction, you cannot be baptized to enter into a man-made church and still be in Christ and in His church. Well, why? Because there's salvation in one and only one place. We pointed that out this morning in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Remember there that Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. There's one name and one name only. Folks, religious division and the doctrines and creeds of men are clearly condemned in the Scriptures. Throughout the Scriptures, we're instructed to be of like mind. And I guess the best one in all the Scriptures that I can that just surfaces immediately is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Remember there where Paul would literally plead with them. He said, I beseech you. That's that word that carries with it, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Here in this one verse, the Apostle Paul covers it all. Speak the same thing, no divisions, but be perfectly joined in the same mind and the same judgment. And yet the diverse teachings in the denominational world violate this direct commandment. Because once again, they're teaching all these different things on this particular subject. This group teaches this. You go to the same subject, and this group over here teaches something totally different. And sadly, 99% of the time, what you find is neither one of them are matching up with what the Scriptures teach. Folks, Jesus made it clear that to teach us doctrine, the commandments of men, was vain worship. Matthew 15 and verse 9. And how many times, I wonder, is it that people have gone to John chapter 15, remember the vine, the branches, verses 1 through 6, and then tried to apply those to mean there was scriptural proof that denominations were acceptable. But let's read it real quickly. We'll just emphasize some words here and make some quick stops here. But notice here, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. That puts an order, doesn't it? It has God the Father. It has Jesus Christ the Son. Now listen, we have the vine, we have the vine dresser. God is authoritative in all things, and Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. First time we've seen the expression branch. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. In other words, that which is unfruitful, God takes away. That which is fruitful, God tends to that and makes it even better where it produces even more fruit. Then notice in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Now listen. He, individual, the person who abides in me and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. Now we understand, begin to get a picture of what that branch is that he talked about in verse 2. It's individual people. It's not the denominational world. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now just stop right there for just a moment and stop and think about the entire context of where we are here. Jesus is speaking to his disciples before the church was ever established, and certainly before any denomination was ever established. How confusing would that have been to his disciples for them to come along later and say, now, what was he talking about here? Was he talking about a group not teaching the truth, or was he talking about an individual? He clarifies, doesn't he? It would not have made sense for Jesus to even have been talking about the denominations, because the denominations didn't come until well after the church was established. Number three and final point. We must preach and teach that as the Lord's church, we must abstain from all evil. What do we mean by this? We must not allow the church to adopt the teachings of, or fall into, or become associated with non-authorized religious groups. The Apostle Paul wrote that we are to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21-22. He added to that, abstain from every form or all appearance of evil. Apostle Paul understood that the church, and consequently even individual Christians, were to abstain from that which was evil. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. It's a very similar concept to what we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. The idea that we are to abhor, we're to stay away from, We are to hold fast that which is good, reject the evil, abstain from it. John, the apostle of love, tells us this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. 1 John 4 and verse 1. So time and time again, we learn that we, as the church, are to be a people who are on guard for the truth. And that we are to reject evil. We are to turn our back on that which is wrong and sinful. In fact, to the point that we are actually to test the spirits. In other words, test the teachers. Are they preaching and teaching the truth? Are they going to God's Word, is how we might think of it today? Are they using God's Word correctly? Folks, we must never, ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel that it teaches is that there is one church and only one church. That Jesus bought that church with His precious blood. He paid the price for it. And as a result, He has the right to instruct us, as we see in the New Testament, what that church is supposed to be about. How we're supposed to conduct ourselves. We must never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ that teaches us that religious division is sinful. It's not authorized by God, and we must oppose it. Here's the question. Are you a member, am I a member, of the one and only divinely authorized blood-bought church? And are we upholding the truth? Are we being the type of people who love the Lord and put to test false teachers? Make sure that if in fact what they're teaching is true or untrue. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to gospel call, we ask a simple question, why not tonight? Why not put your Lord and Savior on in baptism? Why not make that decision to be part of that one body of Christ, the one that He purchased with His blood? If you need to respond to the invitation, please, whatever it may be, if we can help out, won't you come as we stand and sing this song?